we work together. We know what the based on conversations with our downtown merchants who were most adversely affected during the height of coverage of the Trayvon Martin case and the rallies. They shared that foot traffic and business traffic was down anywhere from 10% to 70% for them. So we know who was most adversely affected by that, what their customer demographic is, if you will. And so now we work with the partner panel on identifying resources, messages, and channels of communication to reach out to those folks to tell, encourage them to come back to Sanford to visit with us, to visit those merchants, to patronize our community. So that's what we're engaged in. The partner panel brings a ton of expertise, resources that can help leverage the amount of resources the city can put in. So it's a synergy that we're realizing.
And is it just business leaders you talk to get that baseline feel, that pulse for what public perception is out there in Sanford?
Well, the business community, they were most adversely affected. So both the leadership, our Chamber of Commerce, as well as the frontline merchants who know firsthand what their day-to-day activities were in the way of business and how they've been affected.
John Schroer, what's your kind of view on how Sanford's image was impacted by this Trayvon Martin case that is still ongoing?
Well, I think that there's a theorem in sociology. It's called the Thomas Theorem. And the idea is that if something is defined as real or perceived as real, it can be real in terms of its consequences. So what we have is a perception that's been created by exposure to media and media coverage of what happened in Sanford. And then that has gone national. And then that has had the kinds of consequences I think that Nicholas was describing, where there's been a decline. But just to add something very quickly here, I think that this is not something that's about Sanford. And I think the reason it went national or international, the news and this issue, is because honestly, I think communities everywhere felt this could have happened here. This kind of racial profiling, this kind of incident could have happened in almost any community in the United States. So I think in the long run, it won't be about Sanford. It's going to be about the way we deal with race in America.
So, Nick, from your angle, you're dealing with economics, but you're also having to tackle this image, integrating some of these social themes that John was just talking about.
Yeah, the city in general will be addressing the social issues. I have a counterpart. We work as a team, obviously, at the city. And there is a project advancing called the 9-Point Plan, which will tackle head-on and address the social issues, try to engage in conversation with the community, put processes in place to where we can analyze what occurred, rectify it, and move forward.
You know, I thought it was interesting what you were talking about, John, that perceptions can become real as they become amplified in media and in other forms of communication. And Nicholas McRae, it sounded like you were saying that in a sense it did become real because you saw businesses dropping off in terms of revenue coming in.
There was a definite impact. And that perception was, you know, we had I'll call it a satellite truck farm, if you will, in front of City Hall, broadcasting all over the world, you know, 30-second snippets, if you will, portraying this image that Sanford was on the verge of unrest, and nothing could be further from the truth. It was a very, obviously, and remains, it was a tragic, that word's overused, but at the time of the rallies, a very serious emotional issue. However, we coordinated very closely with the event organizers. Our businesses remained open and inviting. We were here to serve and welcome our visitors. We treated them as visitors. And all of the events and rallies occurred. There was not so much as a shoving match or any sore words.